The Apostle John wrote during a time where there were certain men in the church that were self-proclaimed super Christians. These self-proclaimed super Christians were telling people in the church that they could not know for sure that they were Christians unless they had certain experiences or knew certain things that the Bible does not reveal. Some were saying that you could not be a Christian unless you had this extra mythical experience with Christ, something extra spiritual. You know, maybe you would get together with friends and you would talk about what it means to be a Christian, and one of these men or women would say, well, you're not a Christian unless Jesus has come to you and spoken a certain thing. And there were others that were saying that you could not be a Christian unless you knew certain mysteries that the Bible doesn't talk about. Well, how would you know the mysteries? Well, you have special knowledge that gives you these truths. Eventually, these false teachers would become known as Gnostics, or if we would bring it over into English, we would say the knowers. You know, they're the knowers. They say they know all this extra biblical knowledge, or they know of extra biblical experiences that they say are required in order to be a Christian. And as these Gnostics or these knowers were coming into the church, as they're interacting with the people of God, the churches that John ministers to, they were losing assurance. They were asking questions like if this is true, if I really need to know this, am I even a Christian? Or if I haven't had one of these mystical experiences with Jesus Christ, am I able to say that I am a true believer? And it was causing trouble in the church. False teachings always cause trouble in the church. Assurance was shaken. Friend of our congregation, Scott Clark, talks about how this is something that even happens in the church today. And as a scholar, he's given a title to it. He calls it the quest for illegitimate religious certainty and the quest for illegitimate religious experience. Two things where people are looking for assurance. Can I be certain that I'm a believer? And that's looked for outside of the Word of God to those who are among this group of false believers. Or I'm looking for some sort of experience that proves that I'm a Christian. And assurance is shaken. So how would the Apostle John confront this in his churches? And how can we grow in assurance as believers? What are ways that we can have that assurance, as the sermon title is, knowing that we have come to know? How can we know that we have come to know? Well, for John here, he gives a thesis in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And then in the next couple of verses through verse 6. So 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. He tells us how we can know that we have come to know. In his thesis statement, or his point, the thing he's trying to drive home to us, is that, verse 3, he says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." So this is his thesis. This is his point. He says, one way that you can grow in your assurance as a Christian is, are you doing what the Word says? He doesn't say look outside of the Word. He doesn't say look for experiences outside of the Word. He says, are you in the Word? Are you doing what the Word says? Now, I want you to notice something, and you need to put this in your mind as we go further in the sermon. John is not telling us how we become Christians. So if you're pulling up Twitter and you're saying, you know, Pastor Nathan's being legalistic, he's telling us keep the commandments. That's not what John's saying. He's not saying, how do I become a Christian? Keep the commandments. He's saying, how do I grow in my assurance that I am a Christian? Keep the commandments. This is important because John is not a legalist. And it's important because the elders here don't want to pass on complaints to the presbytery that I'm teaching you that you're saved through commandment keeping. Jesus Christ told us this is eternal life, that we might know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. You see, we trust in His finished work for our salvation. We trust in His righteousness, in His death upon the cross. That's how we become a Christian. We're resting in Christ, trusting in His righteousness imputed to my account. But how do I have assurance that I am a Christian? Let's explore that some this morning in these verses. John begins this morning with making a contrast between those who claim to be Christians or believers and yet do not keep the commandments of God. We see this for our first heading this morning. We could call this the invalidating of assurance. The invalidating of assurance. That's verse 4. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So John here starts out with, whoever says, I know Him. Clearly, these are people that are claiming to know Christ. They're people that are claiming to have some sort of assurance that they are Christians. They say, I know Jesus. But friends, the word know in Scripture is a word that is more than just intellectual. You know, we'll talk about things that we know. And we're usually talking up here, right? We're talking about intellectual things. I know that stuff. But in the Scriptures, we understand that the word know signifies knowledge here in our heads, but it also has an experiential component and even an intimacy as well. We talk about using language in the Old Testament like so-and-so knew his wife and they had a son. The word know is more than just intellectual there, isn't it? Now, when we talk about knowledge as being intellectual, we often will make this division. We'll talk about head knowledge and heart knowledge. And some of us use that language, don't we? There's a famous tract that people passed around a lot in the last century, and it talked about missing heaven by 18 inches. You know, having all of this head knowledge about the Bible, but not having heart knowledge about Jesus Christ. And of course, there's something to be said for that, but we make that division too much. We divide these things out too far in the way that we talk about knowing. Because in the scriptures, as I said, to know includes this idea of love and trust and experience and relationship. So there are those that say, I know him. And John isn't just talking about whether you can check the box on the census that you're a Protestant, a Catholic, or other. He's talking about an intimate knowledge, experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. So these so-called Christians claim to know Christ, but they have a total disregard for the commandments of God. They have little use for what God says in His Word. They may use language like, well, that's the letter of the law. You know, I know that the Bible says not to commit adultery, but what is the definition of is? You remember that line, some of you. It's a disregard for what God commands. And here John is calling on all who claim the name of Jesus Christ to examine his or her heart. Do you have assurance of faith? And do you want to grow in your assurance as a Christian? Are you a believer? And if one claims to be a believer and then looks to the Word of God and says, you know, I'm not going to do that. Or looks to the Word of God and says, you know, I'm just not so concerned about that. I just want to love Jesus. Or if one looks to the Word of God and says, you know, that was a different time. We live in a different age. John says, you had better examine yourself. Because a disregard for the commandments of God, a disregard for those things that God commands in the Scriptures, it's a litmus test. Are you in Christ? Do you believe the Word of God? Are you trusting in Him for salvation? Now, friends, this is a hard word. And since we've started 1 John, they kind of all been hard words so far, haven't they? But John tells us here to examine ourselves. And if we are living, or if you are living an ungodly life, then you do not have a right to the name Christian. You might think, well, who are you to judge, Pastor Nathan? Who are you to judge? Are you saying you've got it together? Are you saying you're perfect? And friends, I'm not saying anything. The Word of God is calling you to examine your heart. To examine whether you are in Christ, whether you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that you can be assured of that is that you are walking as the Word of God calls you to walk. And if you have complete disregard for the commandments of God, then assurance is not yours. John says, you are a liar, the truth is not in you. Now friends, again, that's not coming from me. That's what the Bible says. And again, this is not salvation through works. This is not commandment keeping that you may be a Christian. But this is a call to examine your assurance, to examine whether you truly are in Christ. And if you have that disregard for God's word, John says, well, take that assurance and put it aside and see where you stand before God. Seek to be made right. Trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You see, the keeping of God's word comes after we put our trust in Christ, not before. And we know that when one has trusted in Christ, that there's always going to be things in our lives that we're repenting of. So this is not a microscope. This is a big picture question. Whether you are in Christ. And then I want you to notice what he does in verse 5. In verse 5, he moves us from this invalidating where we're called to examine ourselves and to see if we have this big picture idea, what we may call worldview as we're walking as Christians. And John says, if you don't have it, put your assurance aside. But he doesn't want all of us to put our assurance aside. I mean, we all struggle with sin. He's told us that, hasn't he? We all sin. In verse 5, we see our second heading, the indicator of assurance. The indicator of assurance. What are some ways that we can know that we are in Christ? How can we be assured that we are believers? Verse 5, John says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Notice the parallel. He says, whoever keeps his word. Previously he said, whoever keeps his commandments. He's making a parallel between these things. He's not dividing out the word of God from the commandments of God. The idea here is that if one is in Christ, he or she will look to the word of God and they will hear that in that word, the voice of God, and they'll desire to obey. They'll have a desire to keep the word of God. And again, that doesn't mean we'll obey every time. John's already said, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He's our propitiation. He's already told us that we're going to deal with sin. So he's not telling us that if we keep the law perfectly, without ever sinning, we can be assured we're Christians. Because how many of us would have assurance? None of us. But what he's telling us is that we ought to have this desire to keep the word. And we ought to be walking towards that as we walk by faith. John has told us that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. He's told us that we have an advocate with the Father. So all of these truths come together. We have sin, we will sin, and we will keep His word. And friends, this is the life of the Christian, isn't it? You will sin and you will repent. And you will be drawn back. You will sin and you will repent and you will keep the word. The idea is that the trajectory of the life of the Christian is the trajectory towards obedience. Maybe you examine your life 5 years ago. You say, are you more obedient to Christ? Are you more willing to submit to Christ today than you were 5 years ago? And we ought to be. That ought to be the trajectory. Of course, with ebb and flow and with struggles and trials and falling and times where we have scraped knees as believers. But if you are in Christ, you will find yourself slowly but surely wanting to obey and wanting to walk in obedience and wanting to grow in your commitment to the Word of God. And your life will take on that look. Obedience is an indicator of assurance. If you claim that you have been justified by faith, and if you're generally conforming your life to His teaching and example, then assurance is for you. It belongs to you. You ought to hold on to that. And you ought to be able to say, yes, Pastor Nathan, I have examined my life, and by the grace of God, I want this, and I'm attempting to walk in this by faith. I would say, have assurance. Trust that you are in Christ as you walk. Jesus' perfect obedience by love has been accounted to those who believe. That's what John says, whoever keeps His word, the love of God is perfected. The word perfected means that the love of God has accomplished its goal. The love of God is fulfilled. So that's how John sees this, is that the love of God is coming to sinners with a purpose. And that purpose is to have sinners in union with Christ. And then out of that union with Christ, sinners begin to walk in obedience to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit conforming him or her to the image of Christ. This is God's goal. This is the love of God's goal. To take sinners and to bring them into union with Jesus Christ and then change them. And if you becoming a Christian is anything like me becoming a Christian, that was the scary part. I want to be saved, but do I want to change? Friends, we grow in assurance as we see our lives conforming to the Word of God. And we can rest assured that we are believers as you are trusting in Him and as you're able to look at your life and say, you know, I am seeking to walk according to the Word of God. I'm looking to His Word for how I live. And I'm looking to His Word for how I worship. And I see the Word of God affecting change in my life. Friends, this is the purpose of the love of God. And you can grow in your assurance. John Owen, talking about the connection between assurance and obedience, said that assurance manifests itself in the choicest acts of our souls toward God as love, delight, rejoicing, joy, and consolation in ourselves, and readiness to do or to suffer, cheerfulness in our doing. If they grow not from this root, yet their flourishing wholly depends upon it. So that surely it is the duty of every believer to break through all the difficulties in pressing after assurance. You see, obedience is a fruit of assurance, at least in the Scriptures. So you get assurance and you say, man, I want to walk in obedience. And then you walk in obedience, and what does that do? It makes your assurance grow. See, the root of our assurance in Christ is that our lives are conforming to the Word of God. As a Christian looks to God's Word and understands that you live knowing that Jesus' burden is easy and His yoke is light. You see, we live a life of gratitude for the salvation that He gives to us. And John here describes that as the love of God perfected. It's an indicator of our assurance. Children, why do you want to obey your parents? Husbands and wives, why do you want to please each other as husband and wife? Friends, why do you not want to disappoint your friends? Children, are you afraid that if you disobey your parents that they'll get rid of you? I hope not. Or husbands and wives, are you afraid that if you disappoint your spouse that they will file for divorce? Or friends, are you afraid that you will be left friendless if you disappoint your other friend? No, we want these things because we love them. Children want to obey their parents because it's right and because they don't like to be spanked, but it's because they love their parents. And husband and wife, as your relationship has a biblical look and as there's submission and leadership and mutual encouragement, why is it that you do that? It's because you love them. And the same with friends. And this is what we see with assurance. We see the love of God perfected in us, and that causes us to grow in assurance. And as we grow in assurance, as I said, we walk in obedience. Why? Is it because we're afraid that God will strike us down? No, it's because we love Him. So in your commandment keeping, you can ask yourself, what is my motivation? And it ought to be the love of God in Christ. It ought to be gratitude for salvation. We grow. And that's where John goes next in verse 6. In verse 6, we'll, in the end of verse 5 and verse 6, we'll call this the increase of assurance. The increase of assurance. He says, by this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's the increase. By this we may know that we are in Him. That continues that theme of assurance. And He wants us to be assured that we are abiding in Christ. Calvin says, "Hereby know that we are in Him." He's referring to the fruit of the gospel, which he's mentioned, fellowship with the Father and the Son, and thus confirms the former sentence by stating what follows as a consequence. For if it be the end of the gospel to hold communion with God, and no communion can be without love, then no one makes a real progress in faith except he who cleaves from the heart to God. You see, we grow in our assurance as we're clinging to God, as we're clinging to Christ, acknowledging that we have faith, and acknowledging that from the heart we love the one who has redeemed us. It's union with Christ, isn't it? You think, well, Pastor Nathan, whenever you're preaching from the New Testament, it seems like you're always talking about union with Christ. Yeah. Because it's so central to the teaching of the New Testament. Friends, if we are in union with Christ, if we're clinging to Jesus Christ for our redemption, then we ought to be growing in our assurance. If you are a Christian, you ought not to live with your assurance ebbing and flowing, picking that daisy. Does He love me? Does He love me not? Does He love me? Does He love me not? We walk and we grow. And friends, assurance does ebb and flow for most of us. It does ebb and flow. And there are those, and there may be those here with careful consciences that look to their obedience. And every time they see obedience faltering, they question, am I still in Christ? Am I still in Christ? John here says, abide. Continue clinging to the finished work of Jesus Christ and grow from there. And how do you do that? He says, walk as He walked. He says, you ought to walk as He walked. Ought is an ethics word. It tells us that we are morally obligated to do something. We live in communion with God, in fellowship with God, and we're told that our lives and our way of life ought to reflect the life of Christ. And this is part of our increase in assurance. Are you walking as He walked? Again, Calvin says he does not simply exhort us to imitate Christ, but from that union, he proves that we ought to be like Him. A likeness in life and deed will prove that we abide in Christ. Friends, are you growing in likeness and in life and deed? Not perfectly, again, but is Christ being reflected to some degree in your life that ought to cause you to grow in your assurance? And you might say, well, Pastor, is that not enough? How will I know? What evidence is there? The evidence is that we find our lives conforming, even if it's ever so slowly, to the Word of God. Robert Murray McShane reminds us that when we are examining ourselves, that for every one look at ourselves, we ought to take 10 looks to Christ. Because we don't want to be in that place where we're just looking critically at our lives and saying, I am not perfect, therefore I am not in Christ. That's why John is stressing the abiding, the clinging, the union with Jesus Christ. And from their walk. But if you're here today and maybe you don't really care what God requires of you in His Word, or if you're knowingly living in direct rebellion, you say, well, you know, I know God wants me to do this, but truthfully, I don't care. You're not entitled to assurance. You're called to trust in the one who loves sinners. You know, don't be afraid that Jesus will not receive you because of your sin. He loves sinners. Your call is not to have assurance yet. Your call is to repent and believe the gospel. And to trust in the one who loves sinners. Jesus then says to us, to you who are in Christ, if you love me, keep my commandments. Friends, this week you ought to be examining yourself in preparation for the table. And I would remind you of our communion form. One of my favorite lines in it being that we are weak pilgrims on the journey through this life. This is not a call to perfection. This is a call to walk. And a call to begin seeing your life conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Because friends, we will not perfectly obey. But we are able to walk. And by faith, we are able to see ourselves being conformed to the image of Christ. Through this text, you are called to renewed commitment to obedience as you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Friends, I would encourage you to grow in your assurance if you are in Christ. Or in the words of John, to know that you have come to know. Amen.